you can find that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 is what we're focusing on. But that Ephesians chapter 6 is a powerful chapter in the book. The whole book of Ephesians is dedicated to the church, to the body of Christ. And it's Apostle Paul's writing. And so I always encourage people to read that book. And so this morning we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And I'm going to be in the New Living Translation. Whatever translation you have is fine. That's the one that I'm going to use. So, Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. Father God, I ask that the ears of the hearers would be anointed to hear and their hearts open to receive. As your word goes forth by the Spirit of God, we ask that you manifest yourself, the Holy Spirit manifest himself to each one of us in a way that we can understand. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So this whole armor of God is something that we need to know about. When I was a student at Rhema, one of my classes was with the dean of the Bible College at the time, Dean Martin, and his class was The Life of Christ. And he started something that we continued throughout our time there at Rhema, and that was putting on our armor every morning. And he said that you need to do it every morning because you should be growing in the things of God. And so if you're growing in the things of God, you need a new size every morning. This man was very interesting. He was a Caucasian man from the state of Mississippi. And for those of you all that don't know anything about the Southern way of doing things and the behaviors of the different cultures in the South, it's very interesting. And of course, Oklahoma is Southwest, but the culture that he came from in Mississippi is considered the Deep South. And so this man had authority. He was the dean of the Bible College. And I was very much intimidated by him. He laughed at me when we graduated. We had an opportunity to, you know, go past and say some comments to him on our final days there at Rhema. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm a woman in my 40s, but when I came here and you spoke to us in orientation, I was very much intimidated by you. And he looked at me just as strange, like, I don't know why. But when he talked, his eyes closed up. And he was as serious as a heart attack, as the world would say. Because, you know, he didn't smile and he just said what he had to say. And one of the things that he was trying to get across to us in orientation is, you know, we're faith people. Faith is emphasized a lot at Rhema. People were writing faith checks. That meant they was writing checks and they didn't have money in the bank. And the checks was bouncing. So when he did his part in orientation, Fred Price also was involved in orientation, but I'll talk about that another time. So when he did his orientation, he said he wasn't tolerating no fake checks. And if you wrote a fake check, he was going to call you into his office and you better have some money, or he wasn't going to let you stay at Rhema. All of that was to intimidate us into making sure we didn't fall into that trap. A faith check is a check you write when you know you don't have no money in the bank. And you know one thing, sometimes you go ahead and write the check, but you don't give it to anybody. That's the part that he was talking about. Because if you believe in God for some money, one of the things you might do is write the check but you don't send it because you know you ain't got no money in the bank. But that's a sign of your faith that the money is coming. So you write the check. Some of those people that were attending Rhema, he had all ages of people attending, and some of those young Christians, they did not so they didn't understand that you don't cash the check or you don't give the check to nobody until the money manifests, that your faith is showing that you believe that it's coming. Until you get that money in the bank, you ain't got no business right. That check, that's another sermon altogether about faith. But that was my encounter with Dean Martin. And then I took his class. And this man was very, very compassionate. He was a really nice man, but he did his job and he was stern. And so in his class, we got to know him better. And he said one morning to us, I'm going to get to the sermon, y'all. He said one morning to us, and he said, everybody that's in here is going through something. And if you're not going through something, you don't belong here. Well, why did he say that? Because people were coming to Rhema, and they had no money. They had Marie and Mike Cantwell, who have a church in Redwood City, California, which is just up the road from me and my classmates. They had three little boys. They brought their children to Rhema. Now, Mike did have a little job. He worked at night, so he came to class tired every morning. All of those men that had night jobs, and then some of the women were working after class because our classes were done by noontime. And people were having trouble, money problems. You know, I had put my house up for sale, and escrow lasted for 6 months instead of 90 days. You know, just the devil trying to keep you from being at Rhema and doing what God had you to do, because when you left there, you were going to be a big threat to him. Some of us were threats before we even left. So anyway, this man, Dean Martin, he said, if you ain't having no trouble, that's how he said it, if you ain't having no trouble, then you don't belong here. Because even the staff was going through it. He was having some problems. He didn't go into his followers, but he made us know that, you know, I'm just like you. The devil don't want me here either. So we're looking this morning at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And the Apostle Paul gives what he calls a final word in this chapter. He says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And then he tells the Ephesians how to be strong. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. To stand against the devil, we have to do what the Bible says. That's what we just got through doing this morning. The devil didn't want us to have the music, but we decided, and God, it was God's will, that we'd have our music for praise and worship. And so we took a stand, a firm stand against the devil. So put on all of God's armor, so that you will be able to stand firm against all of the strategies of the devil. You see, he has many strategies, but we need to stand firm. So to stand against the devil, we have to do what the Bible says, and that is to put on all the armor of God, not just part of it. And sometimes I think that Christians put on a few pieces of the armor, and they don't put on the entire set. But that whole armor is what we need. Put it all on, because it all goes together. So we're putting on our clothes. If you're a man, you don't put on your shirt and shoes and forget your pants. If you're a woman, you don't forget to put your dress on and all the other garments that go along with that. So the armor of God has two parts. It has the defensive and the offensive. Does that sound like football, I guess? we need both to stand against the enemy and defeat him. So our battle is spiritual. And so the Apostle Paul tells us in the scripture that we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. We fight these spiritual enemies by putting on spiritual armor. So verse 13 in the New Living Translation says, therefore put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. You see, we have to stand firm because, you know, Satan are trying to play with you and fool you. He's a liar. So he tries to fool you. He wants to make you think that, you know, it's going to be all right. You know, that's what he did even in the garden. He fooled her. And she fell for his lies. And as a result, she and her husband, Adam, fell from grace. And in came sin. And here we are still dealing with that. So when we are wearing our armor, we can stand firm knowing that the devil has no right or authority over us. You know, the devil has no authority over us. He's really powerless over us if we enforce the authority that God has given us. He is not going to win, you see. He knows that he has a very slight chance of winning when he messes with God's people, but he is a fool, so he tries it. And sometimes we're foolish because we let him do that to us. So we need to stand our ground. That's what the scripture says. We need to remind ourselves of what God says. And we are, God's word says, we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. And you can look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13 to compare that. Whenever we're in battle, we must stand our ground. That means don't retreat and don't give up. We can't quit. We don't quit. Because we know that we will win. If we continue to stand our ground, we will win every time. Why is that? Because Jesus defeated the devil 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. That's how long we've been winners. And we are victorious today because of what Jesus did then. It carries over, saints. Ever since Jesus went to Calvary, and we'll be celebrating our resurrection day soon, but ever since he went to Calvary and he went through what he went through on the cross, we are victorious against Satan. He cannot win. He's already lost. He lost at Calvary. And so we have to keep him in his place. Put him in his place and keep him in his place. So our first piece of armor is the belt of truth. And that's Ephesians 6 and 14. When I think about the belt of truth, I picture a huge heavyweight champion's belt given to boxers and wrestlers. You've seen those belts. And I picture a big belt buckle of truth. How many lies the devil tries to tell us? Truth always wins out. No matter how many lies the devil tries to tell us, truth always wins out. The truth of God's word is sitting at my waist. And wherever I walk, truth comes in. That's the way I see that. And the body armor of God's righteousness, that's verse 14, also tells us to put on the body armor of God's righteousness. Body armor guards our heart and other vital organs. Sometimes people say, you've done this, and you've done that, and you messed up so badly God can't use you. That's what people say. you know, just make clear now. That's what people will tell you. So that's not true. No, we have been made righteous through the blood of Jesus. We have been made righteous through the blood of Jesus. That's how come we're righteous. We're not righteous in our own right, but we're righteous because the blood of Jesus was shed for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 9, and 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 will verify that. Paul wrote most of the New Testament. We're talking about the Apostle Paul. But he had a past life and did a lot of bad things. So we joined the Apostle Paul in the fact that we have a past life. If mine is different from yours, it may not be yours as bad as mine, but we all have a past life and we did a lot of bad things. And if we're not careful, Satan will have us continue to do bad things even though we're saved. And the lying tells us, well, you can just repent, but that's really not what repentance is for us to keep on sinning. And if you read the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul explains that, I believe in chapter 18, like it said. He was Saul of Tarsus. That's who Paul was. And he had many Christians killed. And God, however, still had a plan for his life. So it doesn't matter what any of us did before we came to the Lord. God wants to use us. And once we give our lives to the Lord, he washes away all that mess that we did before and puts it in the sea of forgetfulness. In other words, he's not like people. Now, let me tell you about some people. They're going to remind you of everything you did that was bad, okay? Oh, I remember you. I've had them tell me, oh, I remember you, so-and-so and so-and-so. And then they want to make you feel bad. How can you say you a Christian and you used to do so-and-so and so-and-so? Because the blood of Jesus has washed my sins away and made me clean and acceptable in his sight. So you, when people come to you with that mess, don't let them discourage you. Don't let them try to make you look like you can't be saved, because Jesus died for your sins and he washed you clean, washed you white as snow. So you need to remember that. So the shoes of peace, let's talk about these shoes of peace. Another part of our armor, for shoes put on the peace that comes from the good news, so you will be fully prepared. Ephesians 6 and 15, that's the New Living Translation. The peace this verse is talking about is a peace that passes all understanding. And you can find that in Philippians 4 and 7. It's hard to stand strong if you don't have peace. We have to decide that we're going to stand in God's peace. When you lose your peace, you cannot hear from God. When you lose your peace, you cannot be obedient and follow the Holy Spirit. So we need to always ask God to keep us in perfect peace. We need to always ask for that peace that passes all understanding. It's hard to stand strong if you don't have peace. One of the last things Jesus said before he went to the cross was, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, fear is another problem for us. And once you get in fear, you can't hear nothing God is saying. So we have to understand that we need to not be afraid. John 14 and 27. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. When everything is falling apart, around us, we can have peace by casting our cares on the Lord. We have to choose peace. We'll have days when the author of unpeace tries to take away our peace. The author of unpeace is Satan. And we will have days when the author of unpeace tries to take away our peace. But if we have our shoes of peace on, we will be fully prepared to walk through anything. You see, you have to have those shoes of peace on. They won't do you any good in the closet. You have to have them on. And next, we need the shield of faith. And the shield of faith is our first line of defense, and it stops the fiery arrows of the devil. The word says that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And that's Isaiah 54:17. But the devil will keep trying to pummel us with something. And it's better if we stop his attacks with our shield. Even so, if something gets past our shield, other parts of our armor will stop the attack. The devil attacks us from behind, too, the sneaky one. So I imagine that my shield of faith is more like a space shield, and it covers me all the way around. It's just not one of those, Satan, I'm fine, I'm not talking, I'm going to finish this. It's not one of those little shields that we see that just covers the front of you, you know. In those days, the shield that they had, they would hold that shield with one hand and use the sword with the other. This shield that God gives us, it all covers you all the way around. And so then we need the helmet of salvation. Satan, I am not going to let you stop me. I'm going to finish this one. The helmet of salvation. And one of our biggest battlefields is in our mind. Honey, the devil loves to play in you. He loves to get in your thought life. The devil would try to attack us in our mind daily. So the scripture tells us to cast down imagination. 2 Corinthians. Cast down imaginations. We have to do that. And then the scripture is 2 Corinthians 10:5. Please. Put yourself on mute, please. Paul calls this piece of armor the helmet of salvation. We need to think about what salvation has done for us. Knowing the word and what Jesus did for us on the cross will help us win the battles in our mind. You know what, Satan, I bind you, because you're not going to interfere with this word going forward. There are people here who need to know about this. And so I take authority right now. Please put yourself on mute, whoever you are that's trying to interfere with the service. Put yourself on mute. Paul calls the piece of armor the helmet of salvation. I'm going to talk about this helmet.
So that's Dr. Carson. I think she doesn't know she's not on mute.
Well, she needs to get her pillow. Anissa, can you call her?
Okay, let me text her real quick. I don't think she knows. Okay.
You have to get on mute. This is the way the enemy does, y'all. And I love my granddaughter, but this is the way the enemy does. He'll try to distract you from hearing. So we're going to talk about the helmet.
Oh, there she goes. Okay.
We talked about the shield of faith. So one of our biggest battlefields is our mind. I want to go over that again. The devil will try to attack us in our mind daily. Scripture tells us to cast down imaginations. That's 2 Corinthians 10:5. And we are told to renew our minds. That's in Romans 12:2. We do that with God's word. Paul calls the peace of armor the helmet of salvation. We need to think about what salvation has done for us, knowing the word and what Jesus did for us at the cross, of course, will help us win the battles of our mind. You know, he loves to play in our mind. And our thought life is so important that we get our minds renewed. Get all of that garbage out of our minds that the devil has placed in our minds all of this time that we've been serving him. And get our minds renewed. And the way we get our minds renewed is by the word of God. The word of God will take care of that problem. What you put in is what you get out. What you speak out of your mouth is what you get. So it's very important that we get our minds renewed and that when we speak the word of God. We speak in faith. We don't speak doubt and unbelief. We don't allow Satan to use our tongue that way. And when we start speaking in faith and we speak the word of God and think the word of God, then we line up with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is able to use us, you see. Excuse me. So then we need the sword of the Spirit. So far, the armor pieces we have on, we have the shoes of faith. We have the shield. Oh, well, let me go back. We have the belt of truth. We have the body armor of God's righteousness. We have the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation. Now, when those warriors in those days went out to battle, they had on all those pieces of armor that we spoke of, but you know you have to protect your head. Because if you don't protect your head, you'll be a walking target for whatever comes along. So we need the helmet of salvation. One of our biggest battlefields is in our mind. The devil will try to attack us there daily. I told you that already. But I guess God wants to tell you that again, that we do that with God's word. So now we're going on to the sword of spirit. You see, Satan tried to get me confused, so I can't finish what I'm telling. He really is not happy with us this morning. He's not happy about this word. So that tells me that this word is the right word, because he's not happy. So we talk about the sword of the spirit. God's word is the sword of the spirit. Christendom, many of us call the Bible our sword. Don't forget to bring your sword when you come to serve. Ephesians 6 and 17 talks about the sword of the Spirit. What does his word say? It's important for us to know. If we don't know what the Bible says, we can't defeat the enemy. You see, we have to know how to speak the word. We have to know what the word says. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he answered each temptation with the word. When you go back there and look, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he was fasting, he was hungry. But what he did, he answered each temptation with the word. And this is our example to follow. When the devil lies to us, we have to quote the word. That's how we defeat him. So we need the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then we should be fully dressed. We should have on all the pieces of the armor that's going to keep us protected. And it's hard to forget to put on our clothes, put on all our clothes when we're getting dressed each day. It's hard to forget to put on all the clothes. So it should be that we remember every morning when we get up, we need to put on the armor of God. And that's what Dean Moffat was trying to get us to understand here in Rhema. He said, put that armor on every morning. And you say, well, I put it on yesterday. Why do I need to put it on again today? Because you should have grown in the spirit from yesterday to today. That's what God's expectation of us is that we are growing. We are growing in the things of God. So spiritually speaking, let's make sure every day we are fully clothed in God's armor. If we're going along and the devil tries to attack our heart, it could mean we forgot to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Or if we're feeling unsettled, maybe we didn't put on our shoes of peace. It's easier to stand strong when we're fully dressed in God's armor. The devil can get through if we've forgotten to put on a piece of that armor, put a piece of that armor on. And when we are fully equipped, we have the power to withstand him. So we need to put on this armor every morning. And so what I do and what I did is that you go through the process of putting it on when you get up in the morning. I put on the shoes of peace. I put on the helmet of salvation. I put on the body armor of God's righteousness and the belt of truth. You start with the belt of truth, put on the armor, then you put your shoes on, the shoes of peace, and then you get the sword of the spirit. Make sure you got your sword with you, either in your heart or in your hand. What is the sword? The sword of the spirit is God's word. So, you know, I made it a practice to have a Bible everywhere I spent time. So when I worked a secular job, I had a Bible in my desk drawer. And when the devil would get to jamming me up and things would be going on, I'd take that Bible and go to the bathroom. And I'd spend a few minutes in a stall reading my Bible and getting that word that I needed, a word of encouragement. And let me tell you, I had a plan, Mother. She really believed in prayer. And that's one of the first things she taught me when I first could understand was to pray. Now I lay me down to sleep. But then when I got older, she taught me the Our Father prayer. She was really a very, very determined woman of prayer. And so we lived in a small house. Three kids, she and my dad. My mother would get up in the morning with her Bible and go lock up in the bathroom, in the restroom, because there was no place else that she could have privacy. So she would take her Bible and her literature that she used for her devotion in the morning and prayer and go into the bathroom. So, you know, wherever you got a quiet place, that's where you need to go and make sure that you get that word of God, because you need that protection. You need the protection of these pieces of armor. Satan's always looking for a way to come against us. He's always trying to trick us. He's always trying to discourage us. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. So we need to understand that we have to put on that armor of God. And we need to stand our ground. And that's what we do, that by putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of righteousness. And so with that said, I want you all to remember that you can go through this process every morning, and you can do it by going to Ephesians chapter 6 in your own Bible and follow the instructions. You know, I put on the whole armor of God. And when I say that, then I want to put on the pieces that go along with that armor and make sure that I'm covered with the armor before I go out of my house to work or whatever you have to do. And then we look at verse 18 here. After we put on the sword of the Spirit, we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You can go to your Bible and see this. Verse 18 says, pray in the spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And then the Apostle Paul adds in that last verse, he said, is pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right word so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan. That the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. So we need to understand that the good news is that this gospel is for everyone. Everyone that will receive it, that's the good news. And so we need to share with anyone that will allow us to the good news. So with that said, we're getting ready to dismiss this morning. I thank God for each one of you on this first day of daylight saving time for this year. And I thank God for your faithfulness and being able to have you join us this morning for service. And I'm going to let Reverend dismiss us if he's up to it. And I want you to have a blessed day in the Lord.
Amen. Amen. So thank you for that message, Pastor. The main thing I got out of that is you don't only put on that armor one day. You need to put on that armor every day. Single day. You need to be aware and you need to put on that armor. As I look about and I look what's going around nowadays, and I watch the news, we need that armor every day. The enemy is in full attack. He's in full force. And he's just not attacking me. He's attacking y'all too. I hope y'all can see it. He's been attacking me and I can see it. And I pray against it, but I need to put on that armor and every piece of it. Not just some of it, all of it. Because we need to protect ourselves, you know, as we walk out there in that valley of death and in the shadows of what's going on out there today. And it is going on out there. We watch the news. Yeah. We see the wars. We see the things that the Bible's been telling us about. That's what we're seeing today. And people talking about, they don't know about that Bible. They better get in that Bible and read it. And if they do, they'll see what's going on right now today was written about so many years ago.
Yes, yeah.
And not by no fortune tellers.
I have to say this, and I know politics is something that everybody has the right to believe what they believe. But if I wasn't sure that I heard this, I wouldn't believe it. There are people in this country that would put a man back in office who tried to destroy the Capitol. And I just have to leave that with y'all. I'm not going into why, but I just need you to look at that. Because the enemy is such a liar that he could fool the main leader of the country to try to destroy it. That is the devil's handiwork. That's all I got to say about that.
Amen. Like I say, we see it all around us, y'all. So let's just be prepared. Let's not fall for what they used to say. Don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe. Don't fall for the enemies. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Things are going to happen. Like I've been sick, but I'm not falling for it. I'm not saying, okay, well, I just give up. I can't give up. I got to continue to fight. And so let's not give up because God is still on the throne. He's still on the throne. So we can't give up and we got to put on that armor and we got to always be ready for the enemy's attack. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father God, we just thank you this morning, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, as the enemy tried to attack me where I couldn't give my message. But we heard the message we needed to hear today, Father God. We heard the message that we needed to hear, Father God. And we always need to remember to put on that whole armor. to be prepared, Father God, because we know he roams around like a roaring lion looking to see who he can devour, Father God. But he won't devour us, Father God, because we stand in your word, Father God. The word says, Father God, like Jesus said, Father God, we cannot live on bread alone, Father God. The word says, Father God, that even Jesus fought back with the word, and we need to fight back with the word as well, is what I'm saying today, Father God. We need to fight back with your word. In order to fight back with your word, we need to know your word, Father God. So we thank you. We thank you for that word that you've given us. We thank you for that map, that guideline, that map to our life, Father God, that helps us live this life, Father God, the way we should live it, Father God. You gave us the instructions, Lord, and we need to use them. So we just thank you today, Father God. We thank you for the message. We thank you for the messenger, Father God. We pray, Father God, that no one leaves here the same as they came, Father God. We just thank you, Father God. We ask that head of protection, Father God, over us, Lord. We ask that hedge of protection over our family members and all the families that are represented here today, Father God, and the ones that also will listen later, Father God. So we just thank you this morning. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory, Lord, because all the glory belongs to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everyone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, y'all.
Have a great day.
And be safe. And don't forget to put your arm on if you haven't already. And we'll see you tomorrow night in prayer.
Amen. All right, everybody. Have a blessed one.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Amen.